the doctrine of Satan? And we gave that quick answer to that question. It's simply this: we might better know our enemy and know how that we can know how he works, know the how his thinking process is, so we can better be able to defeat him in and through Jesus Christ. And then lately we went on question number three: what are the various names of Satan and what do they mean? And so the better we know Satan, and the better we can describe Satan and know his names, the better we know how he's going to operate. And so turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, as we look at the 14th name of Satan found here. And 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. And we find that his name is Adversary. Adversary. Who would want to read this verse for the pastor? And then we'll have a word of prayer and get started. Miss Debbie? Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time as we would delve into this idea of spiritual warfare, the unseen powers of darkness. Father, I pray you'll help us as we discern these last couple of names for our adversary, Satan. Father, help us to understand, Father, what the name means, Father, so we can have better opportunities, Father, to reject Satan, reject his working in our life, Father, and live a life for Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless this time of teaching and preaching tonight, Father. Save that one, Father, that could be here this evening, doesn't know Christ as their Savior, and for that we'll be eternally grateful, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. So if you're filling in the blanks, name number 14 would be, his name is Adversary, according to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. That word adversary, if I were to ask you to define that in very simple terms, how would you define an adversary? A what? Enemy? That's a good answer. What else? Someone against you, yes. So if I am playing hockey and I'm on one side as a Pittsburgh Penguins and watching the Capitals are on the other side, who was really on the other side? Starts with an O. Opponent, yes. All those terms are correct, but I think opponent gives us a little bit better definition. And that word adversary actually has some legal ramifications to it, and it may suggest that at times Satan will stop righteousness through legal court situations. Let's just stop for a moment. Have we seen that happen over the past year or two here in the United States of America, literally across all the world? We find him doing that. And it has been true since the very beginning time of church history, even today in the American judicial system that we see coming alive today. And it is this pastor's prayer that as the next president appoints a conservative justice, that perhaps we can see some of those things that go against God's word and go against God's plan for a husband and a wife to be one man and one lady, that thing will begin to change. The devil, as we find out, is the accuser or the prosecutor of believers. But according to another writer, turning your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, we find that if Satan is the accuser or is the prosecutor of believers, we find that we have somebody standing up for ourselves. Amen. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. And who would read that for the pastor? 1 John 2 and verse number 1. All right, Miss Gail in the back. All right. So here we find as an adversary, it's an opponent, because your adversary or your opponent, the devil, as the roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And we said that the devil is an accuser or a prosecutor. But thank God there is someone, according to 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our advocate. In other words, we could say he is a counselor for the defense. Amen. Someone standing by our side. When you look at that term adversary, it literally comes from two different Greek words. And those two Greek words compounded together literally translate this way: against righteousness. So we could say that because your adversary, the one against righteousness. And it names that person, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Satan is against any true righteousness that exists in the world. As a matter of fact, not only against any true righteousness, he's against any form of righteousness whatsoever. In fact, he tries to work in people's hearts and lives to try to get them not to exhibit Christ's righteousness in our lives after we have trusted in Jesus as our personal Savior. So we find his name is adversary, and it gives that connotation of a legal term of one who opposes us. But thank God that we have an advocate with the Father, none other than Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Name number 14 then is adversary. Then look at number 15, name number 15. We find the name is Abaddon. Abaddon. A-B-A-D-D-O-N. A bad Don. That might be a way to help you remember it. That's what Don's mother would tell him. Don, you're a bad Don, all right? If you want to spell it that way. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? You're a bad Dave, and you're a bad Cheryl, and you're a bad Nancy, and you're a bad Steve. You know, we're all bad because of our sin nature, amen, until we trust in Christ as our personal Savior. So we find this term. Turn to Revelation chapter 9 and verse number 11. Revelation 9 and verse number 11. His name is Abaddon. And this is a Hebrew word for a Greek word, Apollyon. And it's listed here for us. And that means destruction or one who destroys. So we could say Abaddon is a Hebrew word for the Greek word Apollyon, which means destruction or one who destroys. Who would read Revelation 9 and verse number 11? All right, John, thank you, brother.
And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the Father Lachin, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon.
All right, so understand this name Apollyon or Abaddon means destruction or one who destroys. Now just think about it for a moment. If Satan's, one of his names is Apollyon or it's Abaddon, listen, he doesn't put things together. He destroys. He wants to tear apart and he wants to really root out Christians and have a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many take this title to be the title of Satan. I'm under that same auspice. I believe that this is speaking about none other than Satan himself, and specifically designed to show that his entire demonic army are very destructive. Listen, anything that has to do with Satan and the fallen angels, demons we would call them, literally call them demons today, listen, has nothing to do with good. They bring destruction and they destroy lives and people and nations and all kinds of things. The name literally means destruction, and the Greek rendering, as we saw from other names of Satan, is in the present participle, indicating a continuing action, as we have previously seen in other names of Satan. So he's not destroying just one time. It's a continuing, progressive action of destruction and destroying. He does not stop. And we could say he is a destroyer who causes massive destruction, would be a true statement about Satan. I want you to understand this first name number 14, adversary, he's our opponent. And our opponent wants to destroy us. And if he can't destroy us personally, he'll bring destruction all around us to make us perhaps really turn back from serving God. Well, look, name number 16. The final four names of the titles for Satan, as outlined in your notes, are designed to describe Satan's influence upon the world. So notice name number 16. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 31. The Gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 31. And who would read that for the pastor? All right, thank you, Sharon. All right, so we find that his name is prince. Satan is also not only called the prince, but he's also called the ruler of this world. In John 16 and verse 11, we have another text proof. It says, of judgment, because the prince, or in other words, the ruler of this world, is judged. So in both of these instances, that word ruler means commander. It means chief. It means leader. It also gives us the idea that this ruler or prince is first in rank or power. There is nobody above him. So when you think about one that controls this world as the prince in power of the air, it is Satan. There's nobody above him. He's the chief one, first in rank or first in power. That word means that Satan is the chief magistrate or ruler of this world. There's nobody above him, my friends. And his goals and his objectives for this world are being worked out in both the secular and the religious places and people. Satan will oftentimes use religious people, quote unquote, to carry out his bidding, just like he uses lost people. Sometimes Satan will even use saved, born-again people who are not serving Jesus Christ. We would call them perhaps backslidden in a relationship with Christ and use them to do his bidding as well. And Satan is able to use all kinds of things to keep people's minds blinded to the truth of the gospel. And I don't have to list them out for you. You can just walk in this world or turn your television set on, or you don't have to turn it on. Just look at it and know that oftentimes he'll use people, places, things, eras, times to get people to not serve Jesus Christ. So we find his name is Prince, or in other words, the ruler, and he's the big cheese, the big potentate that rules down here. There is nobody that rules greater than he, of course, except for God and his son, Jesus Christ. It brings us, as we move quickly to name 17, we find his name is God with a small g. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Every name that we have looked at in this study of spiritual warfare, the unseen power of darkness, as we look at these names of Satan, is designed to help us understand really who he is and how he works. And so these particular names are helping you and I truly to understand and describe this influence that he has upon the world. All right, so who would read 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 4? Who hasn't read today? All right, Henry, thank you. All right. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not. If you were to take the time, you were to study that verse and literally would break it down, you would find that term world in this passage is not the word for cosmos. It's not the same word that we would think as earth or the firmament. It comes from another Greek word, and that Greek word is aeon. And you can write it this down, A-H-E-E-O-N. That's not the Greek spelling, but it's the phonetic spelling to help you understand what that word is. And the emphasis is not on the physical planet Earth or the other planets of this world, but it's on the system or the philosophy or the spirit of the age that rejects the true and living God and his son Jesus Christ and what he's did for us on the cross of Calvary. We would say, we could call it this, the counterfeit life and religion outside of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 2 and verses 1 through 3. So here in this text, and in 2 Corinthians 4, 4, that term a world does not refer to the cosmos, but it refers to the system or philosophy or the spirit of the age or that counterfeit life and religion that Satan has set up for unbelievers here on this earth. All right, who would read Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3? Ephesians 2. All right, Pastor James, John will get you next.
Of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience,
All right, thank you. So in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, we find that men walk according to the course, that Greek word aion, of this world. That word term world literally means cosmos. So that word cosmos refers again to the circle of the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, men of the human family that's contained living on the earth. So in other words, we could say this, that the people are governed or they're dominated by aion, by the world practices, the world system that Satan has put into place. And oftentimes I found this out, and you can just think about it yourself, that the world system, because of Satan as empowers leaders, people follow ungodly leaders right down a path straight to hell. And they follow leaders' qualities. They follow leaders' characteristics. And the Bible says in Galatians 1 and verse number 4, it's called the present evil age. So Galatians calls it the present evil age. Here we find in Ephesians 2 and 2 Corinthians 4:4, we have that Greek word that's aion, which means the world system. So understand this, that the world that we live on, the cosmos, is filled with a world system controlled by none other than Satan himself. Remember, there is no one more powerful than him that rules this universe besides, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. Name number 18 is deceiver. Turn to Revelation 12 and verse number 9. We looked at this verse previously. This name is deceiver. Satan is the one who is the deceiver. And listen, my friends, not only of you and your neighbor and anybody else that you come in contact with, but the Bible teaches that he will be the deceiver of the whole world. Revelation 12 and verse 9. And who would read that for the pastor? Revelation 12 and verse 9. All right, Carol. All right, the whole idea behind this word is that Satan is a deceiver. Satan is the root cause for all the wandering, all the straying, all the erring from God that exists in the world today. And it's no wonder that he is, because he is the leader, the prince and power of the air. Nobody more powerful than him. And the fact that most people know very little about the Word of God. Most people, even independent fundamental Baptist people, really do not know and understand sound biblical doctrine. And because of that, they could be led astray. And Satan has an easy open door to deceive the whole world, because he has blinded the mind of them that are lost. And then those who are saved and trusted in Christ as their Savior oftentimes really do not know the Bible and what God teaches about doctrine. And that's why it's so important that we cover Bible doctrine time again during our preaching schedule here at Charing Baptist Church, because doctrine is what our foundation of our Christian life is built on, and we stand on doctrine. And the truth of the matter is, we rather hear a series about something else instead of the doctrine of man or the doctrine of sin or the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, different doctrines like that. Because sometimes doctrine can be a little dry and be a little bit perhaps boring to sit there and listen to it. But understand this, that is what Baptists are built on, doctrine, straight from the Word of God. So Satan is not only deceived, but he is a deceiver as well, and Satan is deluded into thinking that at any moment he could just rise up and take God and usurp the authority of God. He tried to do that before and was cast out of heaven and took his fallen angels with him. And so this deception that Satan has is wide-ranging, and he schemes and he plans and he plots, oftentimes hiding his very own existence. Oftentimes he can actively promote himself as Satan. Sometimes he'll use false philosophies and false religions. Sometimes he'll use outright perversions of the Word of God, and he'll use perversions of behavior and perversions of moral authority among man to try to get people to be deceived. And listen, there is no stone unturned that he'll not do. There's nothing that he'll not try. And so, listen, don't think that you can have the power in your yourself to beat this deception of Satan, because you cannot and will not except through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I think there's three reasons why Satan is a master deceiver. And this comes from a great Bible scholar by the name of Ryrie. And he gives these three things. Number one, his constitutional superiority as a cherub. We saw that he was an anointed cherub, and if there would have been a hierarchy in heaven, he would be the highest of the created beings. And then number two, his expansive experience and knowledge of people in the universe causes him to be a master deceiver. And then thirdly, his ability to transform himself in a variety of different ways. Amen. Causes him to be a master of deception. Let's close with this last one, and I'll just be very brief. Name number 19. Turn to 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. We find that Satan is named a roaring lion. All right, who would read 1 Peter 5, 8? 1 Peter 5, 8. All right, Tracy, thank you. Right. So we think of a lion. What do we think about lions? Just name a couple things. Powerful, yes. What else? Fierce, yes. What else? Patience, yes. Yes, they are patient because they'll crouch and hide and just pounce at the last minute. What else? I heard somebody else say something. What? King of the jungle. Yes, that's what I was thinking. What were you going to say? Dangerous, yes. I was thinking that he is the king of the beast. I mean, really, there isn't really in the jungle, there's nobody more badder than a lion. I mean, they can do amazing things. And similar to Satan as well, he is the king of the created beings. Remember, he is all powerful, but not more powerful than God. But understand this, he is the prince in power. I shouldn't say he's all powerful. That's not true. That's not true. He is powerful, and he's the ruler of this world, the prince in power. Power of the air. And so Satan, as like a lion, rules over his kingdom. He rules over his demons, and both are powerful, and both are totally ruthless concerning their victims. And just like a lion would devour someone, you know, do you ever watch those shows? When I was growing up, there used to be a show, it's called I forgot the name of it. That's it, Wild Kingdom. That's it. Thank you, Henry. And Mutual of Omaha was the life insurance company they'd always would sponsor. I don't know why I remember that. But you know what? And boy, they always once in a while have lions and tigers on, you know what? And then lions and tigers and maybe other things would be chasing down zebras. And I'd always be going for the zebra, but I knew he never was going to make it. They were going to get him. He is all powerful. And a picture of the lion who is crouched silently on the verge of viciously attacking someone. That's the way Satan is. Listen, he's just crouching. You say, he's not around my house. Thank God for that. You thank the Lord for that. But I'm telling you, he's crouching. He's waiting to pounce on you, given any opportunity. So you and I need to stay alert at all times, knowing that he is just waiting for us. All these names we have learned about Satan clearly indicate this number one thing. Satan is very active. Don't think that he's just sitting around somewhere playing twiddling the wings, spinning his thumbs. No, he's not. He's active in the world. And in many respects, not only active, but he's dominating in this world as well. And that means all the philosophies, all the education, all the objectives, all the goals of this world, all are part of a carefully orchestrated satanic system designed to move people away from the truth of the gospel. That's what we saw today, what he is trying to do. And one major mistake of believers, and we're guilty of doing this sometimes ourselves, is to assume that Satan does those things which society says are evil, or only does evil things. And listen, we saw from before that Satan will do seemingly good things, although there's no good in Satan, to get you to think that it's a good thing in your life. Dr. Chafer said this, and I'll close. The system which Satan has constructed includes all the good which he can incorporate into it and be consistent in the aims that he wishes to accomplish. He'll use good, He'll use the bad. He'll use the pretty. He'll use the ugly. He'll use the right and he'll use the wrong. He'll do whatever he can because he is our opposition. But thank God we have one who's our advocate, Jesus the Christ. Let's pray.